reports of a shooting at a nightclub.
Breaking news tonight, three officers dead, three wounded in Baton Rouge. A really tough day for Baton Rouge and for the
country. A hidden growth of extreme poverty in America.
The department there says that they have identified the adults involved in the video showing two teenage girls fighting. Now, police met with prosecutors today.
County student placed in a medically induced coma after a schoolyard fire in January has died.
Process. We now know that more than 60 people were killed and more than 200 wounded.
Rhetoric sweeping the country has turned out some hateful things inside
of people. An Elmira man has been convicted of second-degree murder and
After what we saw in Dallas and after what we saw in Louisiana and Minnesota, things seem to be getting worse and more inflamed.
It's all around you. The hate, the anger, the shame of being different. We live in a society that just doesn't seem to tell us who we are, where we came from. Now they have their theories, but no truths. The world offers empty promises that leave us half filled. But do you know why? Do you? It's because they are afraid of you. Afraid if you know your true identity, it'll separate yourself from the rest. How dare you not be a copy is what the world preaches. But God's message is that you are more. Go forth, prosper, and show the world what you are capable of. Have no fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, while the waters roar like a prideful lion, you will overcome. Show the world what you are capable of. Show the world that you are capable of anything you put your mind to, with a devotion, desire, and character like no other. A new life, a new path, a new heart, a new outcome, a new you. Be the change you want to see in the world. Become that guiding force to a brighter future. Uplift yourself and show the world that you are mighty. You will be righteous in this new journey. Takes is one decision, one moment to change your life for eternity. Are you scared to be different? Are you scared of showing who you really are?
I think it's still alive!
Alrighty, what do we got here?
Jeez, it's a lion! Run, Pooh-Bah, move it!
Hey, Timon, it's just a little lion! Look at him! He's so cute and all alone! Can we keep him?
Pumbaa,
are you nuts? You're talking about a lion. Lions eat guys like us.
But he's so little.
He's gonna get bigger.
Maybe he'll be on our side.
That's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Courage. What makes a king out of a slave? Courage.
And he ain't got courage. He's too scared to stand up and be different from the world. Let's just leave him here. Squeaker squeak.
Say I won't.
Why y'all scared to be different?
Say I won't.
Why y'all scared to be different?
Say I won't.
We them outsiders, that's just how we live it.
Say I won't.
And I bet I will. You can
say I won't.
Can I hear a louder shout uproar conference real quick? Come on. Let me hear you. Let me hear you a little bit more. Come on. Hey. Anybody want some free merch? Let me hear you get loud real quick. I don't know who wants it. Does someone actually want this or not? We got a shirt over here already. Who wants it on this side? Does somebody want a shirt? Oh, a quick dish off. All right, hold up. We got a dad hat real quick. We got a dad hat. You got to show me you want this thing, though. Come on. Let me hear it. Let me hear something out of you. Hold up. My man right here. Come here. Nah, jumping up against the wall. Come on. Oh, she didn't want to come. You want it or not? You better hurry up. Oh, near-death collision. Hey, guys, we're excited to have you here. Hold up. I want to talk to you real quick why we're here. We believe that this generation has something absolutely powerful waiting for them. But I also believe that if you never recognize who you are and who God made you to be, you're going to keep going back to what you used to do before. So this year, I want to encourage you. Our whole focus is to have you live as a lion, live as you were created. So Uproar Conference, are you ready to worship tonight? I don't know if I'm convinced real quick. Come on, let's lift our hands up from the back to the front. We're going to pray for just a second. From the back to the front, come on, let me see your hands up. Jesus, I thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, I thank you for deliverance. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders. But I thank you also for identity to be released inside of people. I thank you for a generation that's going to flip the world upside down. That when they show up at school, they show up to a sports team, they show up to a new job, they're going to be known as those who have turned the world upside down. If you believe it, can I hear a mighty amen from the back to the front? Keep it going real quick for Abundant Life Worship. Come on.
Dead in the face. So you know why I'm here? Hey, y'all a little bit gangster. Oh, my. You know why I'm here? There's only one reason I'm here, and that's to give him praise. Ooh, look at the person on the other side. Say, you know why I'm here? Do you know why I'm here? I'm here to give him all the praise. You ready? You ready? All right, I want everybody to look up. Say, Lord, I'm here for you. Come and have your way. Cause I'm ready. Cause I'm ready. Are you sure?
You up, keep singing, keep praising, don't stop giving all we got.
Y'all still feeling alive? Yeah? Listen, this next song that we're about to do. Every time the beat drops, I want you guys to move. All right? Everybody say move. Listen, the reason why is because how many of you guys love your mama's cooking? right? She's got that stove on, she's got that pot on the stove, right? And she's got that pot on the stove and it's cooking something real good. Got ingredients in it, right? The thing is, she goes to the pot every now and then and starts stirring it up.
Everybody stir it up right here.
Everybody stir it up.
I need you to stir it up.
There it is.
You're not stirring over there. I need you to stir. This is serious right here.
You know why she's stirring it up? Because she needs to make sure that every one of those ingredients, the garlic, the herbs, the Parmesan, everything gets felt throughout the whole pot. So if you take a scoop from the top, it tastes good. If you take a scoop from the bottom, it tastes good because it's got all the ingredients. Tonight, we're expecting God to move. Amen? So we don't just want healing to take place over here. We want healing to take place over there. We don't just want deliverance to take place in the middle. We want it to take place over here. So what do you think we got to do? If the anointing for healing is over here, we got to stir it up, right? So when you hear me say, everybody move, you can't stay in the same spot. Do I have your promise? All right, let's get it. Here we go. Staring into your eyes makes my heart come alive. Suddenly brought to life when I met you. Reaching beyond the skies, finding deep, searching wide. Perfect love realized here with you. Come on, move those shoulders with me. This love is for real, you will never let go, never let go. Oh, it's working, it's beyond my control, out of control. Let's get it, come on, clap! This is real love, this is real love, hey! This is real love, this is, everybody move now! Come on, come on, come on, come on. Hey, taking me closer and closer, holding my heart till the very end. Jesus, I'm found in your freedom. This is real love, this is real love. In my heart, I found, I want you. I want you, you won't let me down. You got me, you got me. And this love is for real, you will never let go, never let go. Oh, it's more than just words, love beyond my control, out of control. Pulling me closer and closer, holding my heart to the very end. Come on, clap those hands. Found in your freedom. This is everybody on this side. I need you to move to that side. Here we go. Come on. Hey, hey. This is real love. Hey, come on. I need y'all to move. Come on. Let's go. Hey. You're pulling me closer and closer. Holding my heart till the very end. Jesus, I'm found in your freedom. This is real love, this is real love, oh. Come on, clap those hands.
Staring into your eyes makes my heart come alive. Suddenly realize when I met you.
All right, y'all. Everybody move, come on.
This is real love. This is real love, yeah. This is real love, hey.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're pulling me closer and closer, holding my heart to the very end. Jesus, I'm found in your freedom. This is real love. This is real love. This is real love.
Shout if you know.
Come on.
Shout if he loves you in this place.
Yeah.
Woo. Do you know that Jesus loves you? I'm not sure. sure if this is your first time here or if you've been here forever, but I want to be the first to tell you, Jesus loves you. A crazy kind of love. A real love. Somebody say real love. Say it again. Say it again. Everybody didn't say it. Watch this. Ready? Everybody's got to say it this time. Ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? On the count of three, I want to hear you say real love. One, two, three. Real love. A powerful love that goes beyond anything that you've ever done, anything that you've ever said, anything that's going on in life. He loves you. Because this is real love. Say real love. Say real love. Real love. The only kind of love that's real is the love of Jesus. Amen? Can I get an amen? That's real. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's love in Jesus. Amen? Ooh, it's so good to be in this place today. Oh, man. And I'm excited for you. I'm excited because you get to experience something pretty awesome today. Oh, you came to experience the presence of the Lord. Everything you need is in His presence. Amen. You need healing? It's in His presence. You need answers? It's in His presence. You need anything at all? Guess where you find it? In His presence. In His presence. There's nothing better than the presence of the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, in Jesus. Are you with me today? If you're with me, let me see your face, because your faces are so awesome. Let me see your face. Ooh. You know what looks good on you? Jesus. How many of us understand that He's actually here in this place? So do this for me. Do this. Let's give Him our full attention. You know, He's deserving of that. Because He did a crazy thing just for you. He actually died on a cross just for you. And I think that we could give Him our full attention. So let's just actually take a moment to have a picture. Think about that. Picture Jesus doing the absolute unthinkable just for you. Even before you got on this earth, He did it for you. He made a way for you to be in His presence right now, today at Uproar. He made a way for this moment right here. So let's just close our eyes. Might be crazy, I know. But let's close our eyes. And let's picture that kind of love. A love that makes absolutely no sense up here, but it'll make sense to your heart. So let's picture that. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your presence right here, right now, in this place. God, I thank You. And I'm asking You, Jesus, that You would move and touch the hearts of every single student. Touch the minds of every single daughter of Yours. Every single son of Yours, Father. I pray that You would wash over them with Your love. With Your love, God. We thank You that You're here. Come have Your own way, Jesus. You're so good. You're so awesome. Thank You for all that You've done and all that You continue to do here, Lord. We bless You. We worship You. We thank You. Be found.
Like, oh.
put your hand right here. Sing that again. Your love.
Your love is
high. Come on.
Your love is
high.
Your love is
high. Can you thank him for his love? Father, we thank you. Say this with me. Say, Lord, I thank you that you are here. I thank you that you have a plan for me. And right now, again I ask, come have your way. In Jesus' name. Everybody shout out, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give it up for Jesus real quick. Come on, from the back to the front. Let me hear it. Hallelujah. Man, I'm so excited for conference this year. I don't think you even understand. Which has been, literally, we planned for an entire year for these 3 days. And our expectation is nothing less than you encountering all that Jesus has for you. So, look, on the way back to your seat, let a couple people know that you're excited. Let a couple people know that you're ready. Let a couple people know that Jesus is planning to do something in your life.
Sling in a stone, but the heart of a lion dared him to go. To hear the sound of the cynical die out with the sound of.
All right, well, as you're making your way back to your seats, can you just give a shout for Jesus on your way back? We are so super excited that you are all here. It's going to be a great, great weekend. We just have a few quick announcements for you. We have a Bible college here called Regent Bible Institute, and it's phenomenal. You will get great biblical teaching, hands-on learning. If you want more information about that, our dean here, Pastor Ebo, is going to be speaking a little bit tomorrow night. There's more information in the foyer.
Also, as you've probably seen, we have merch out in the foyer out there. They look this t-shirts. Another one is a gray shirt. It's kind of cool. It's got a world type thing on there. We also got a bunch of hats. Those are already running out. So if you guys want one, you better hurry up and get one after service, okay?
Also, tomorrow and Saturday, we're going to have food for you to purchase out front. We have a couple ministry here. The food is going to be amazing. So make sure if you're going to stick around, you grab some food. And I'd like to welcome next Pastor Michael Spencer. He's the pastor here at His Tabernacle Church.
Wow, we're so excited that God's going to change your life. Turn to someone and say, God's going to change your life. We aren't just interested in having a youth conference. We want Jesus to show up and change your life. That's what this is all about. How many of you want God to change your life? I can't hear you. I said, how many of you want God to change your life? Come on, jump to your feet and shout, yeah! Tonight we're going to receive the offering. As you know, this is a free conference, and I want to let you know that every bit of dollars that come in, what we're doing with that is we're setting it for next year. This conference costs $45,000. Isn't that amazing? And it's all paid for.
Praise God.
Every bit of it's paid for. We even have the mayor of the city put in money to make That's sure that you're awesome. Going to be able to be here. It's exciting to see how many people love you. Turn to someone and say, someone really loves you. It's true. Some people really love you. They put in so much money to make sure that you can be here for free because they love you. So tonight, every dollar that you put in, and you're saying, well, I didn't know I was going to have to give any money. Well, then pull the lint out of your belly button. And if you got lint in your belly button, that's just nasty, by the way. You got lint in your belly button. You need to give something. Why? Because you're here this year. You're going to plant for next year. There's a principle called seed time and harvest. Every time you take a seed and you put it in the ground, you expect it to produce a harvest. Yeah. And right now, you are sitting in the harvest that somebody else has already planted because people care. So tonight, we're not going to waste a lot of time. Are you ready? Let's stand to your feet. The sooner you learn as a young man and young woman, how many of you want to be poor for the rest of your life? I said, how many of you want to be poor for the rest of your life? How many wouldn't mind being blessed? I said, how many of you wouldn't mind being blessed? The way you get blessed is doing finances God's way.
Amen.
When you learn how to give, let me tell you something, it's going to change your life. My kids all learned at a very young age. The very first time I remember we were building the building down in the square. And my sons had saved money to go to the zoo. I think they were like 5 and 6 to go to the zoo. And one of them wanted a bass guitar and the other one wanted drums. And they've been saving their money. Man, just little kids. And we started doing the building fund. And this is what they said. They said, Daddy, we want to give our money to Jesus. We want to sow our money. And I said, kids, if you sow your money, God will bless you with what you're believing for.
That's right.
That next weekend, I went to Utica to go preach up there, and the pastor walked up and said, hey, man, I got like 5 drum sets in this church. Do you guys want one? I said, sure. I had another individual. We were able to buy a bass for Cody, and then a man walked up and said, hey, you know what? Would you mind if I take your kids to the zoo?
That's awesome.
Everything they were believing for,
Amen.
Because they sowed, they reaped. And I want to challenge you to learn this early. Learn this early. The greedier you are, the less you will have. Because the very nature of God is give, and it shall be given. Shout, give, and it shall be given. Press down. Shaking together. Oh, you got to shake a little. Shake. Shaking together. Run it over. Well, men, give to your bosom. God wants to bless you. But only when we enter into his principles. So tonight, I don't know what you got. It might be a dollar. It might be a dime. It might be a little fuzz from the navel. But this I know, you got to start learning to give now.
Amen.
Because God wants you so blessed. Amen. God wants you so blessed that everything you touch will turn to gold. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So bow your head. This is how we do it here. We ask the Holy Spirit to tell us what to give. And I want you to pray right out loud. Dear Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter what you say. I want to learn your way. So whatever you tell me to give, I'll be faithful. For I know that if I sow, I shall reap a harvest. In Jesus' name. I'm sowing for next year that somebody's life will change. In the name of Jesus. And everybody shouted. I said, everybody shouted. What? Are you ready? If you're ready to give, come right out of your chair. The buckets are right up front. Just come and put your money right in that bucket. Come on. Come on. Come and give. Come and give. If you're watching on live stream now, you can give too. Maybe you're enjoying this youth conference. You can give right now. In fact, you can prepare for next year. I'm believing God it's going to be the greatest year harvest we've ever seen. Souls and miracles and calling. Change of life. to your sowing for those that are coming next. Tonight, we're so blessed all the way from Florida. I'm talking throw them on a jet plane and get them up to the North Country. Although I think we're almost as hot as they are down there here. Yeah, it's hot here. So tonight, I want you to give your hand clap for Pastor Sean Thomas out of Margate, Florida. I want you to get your heart ready. God's going to change you. God's going to change you tonight with the Word of God. Don't you let one morsel fall to the ground. Come on, I can't hear you. Say, Jesus, I want more. I want more. I want more.
Oh, no. You got to stay standing. Stay standing. You can't be seated just yet at Uproar Conference 16, right?
Come on.
Oh, no, I'm not just talking to this half of the room. Who came ready for an incredible weekend? I said, ready for an incredible weekend. One more time, come on. Hey, can we give it up for this incredible team right here that's led us into worship tonight? I actually have the privilege and the honor to experience what they produce every single week because we kind of travel as a team now. We're traveling as a team. And so it's exciting whenever I get to hear them. Whenever I get to hear them worship and lead us into the presence of God. And that, I just think they just did a phenomenal job. So can we give it up for the team one more time tonight? And I'm going to do something else before you're seated, because I believe that we got something incredible that's going to take place tonight. I'm going to have my beautiful, lovely, incredible, better half who makes me look good, my wife. This is my wife, Erin. Everybody say, what's up, Erin?
What's up, Erin?
And I just want her to greet you guys for a moment.
Hey, what's up, Uproar? You guys look awesome, man. This place is practically packed out. Man, we are so excited. So me and my husband are youth pastors at our church, Abundant Life. And the reason that we're youth pastors is because, not because, you know, this is, you know, what we know how to do or anything. But it's because we have a passion for seeing young people equipped and understanding what they are called to do and who they're called to be in Jesus. And so, that's right. There is no age limit to what you are able to do. There's no age limit to who you can become when you let Jesus come into your life and teach you who you are. And teach you who he's called you to be. And so I want you to take a moment. When you're here every night this week, we've got tonight. Tonight is the first night. We've got tomorrow night. It's going to be awesome. And we've got Saturday night. We've got three amazing nights. And so what I want you to do is I want you to take a moment. And I want you to make a commitment right now. And I want you to remember, every time that you walk into this room, you forget who you're here with. And you make a commitment to Jesus to just listen to what he wants to tell you. He wants you to know new things. He's got a message that is specific to you, to each and every one of you. So remember that. Commit to hearing what Jesus has to say to you these next three nights. And I guarantee if you let him, if you let him talk to you, if you yield your heart to him, if you just say, Jesus, whatever you want. I don't know what it looks like, but I'm going to let you do whatever you want in me. He is going to do something unbelievable in your life. Thanks for having us, guys.
Amen. Here's what I want everybody to do right now. Everybody just raise your hands tonight. Let's just lift our hands to our Heavenly Father tonight. And I just want to take one more moment before we jump into the Word. And let's just offer up one more sacrifice of praise to our God, to our Creator, to our King, to our Lord. Everybody say, Jesus, I love you. Say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you into this place. Say, Heavenly Father, I love you. Come on, now here's what I want you to do is just worship the Lord one more time. Just worship the Lord one more time. Let him know how good he is. Let God know how awesome he is. Let our King, let our Savior, let our Lord know how awesome he is. Let's just take a quick praise break moment. You can sing, you can shout, you can clap, you can lift up his name. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We worship you, Lord. We magnify your name. God, you are a good God. Father, you love us. Come on. Lift up a shout to God. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing before we get started. I want you to grab hold of the hand of the person next to you. I believe when we come together and we create that unity in the community, there's something about the presence of God that allows us to be able to receive collectively. And see, when God sees that two or three that are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. And I believe that tonight the presence of God is in this place tonight. So Heavenly Father, we just worship you. We honor you. We praise you. We magnify your name. Jesus, you are King of Kings and you are Lord of Lords. And we thank you that we can be in your presence. We thank you that right now at Uproar Conference 2016 at 8:01 p.m. on the starting night, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in this place. We thank you for what you want to do in this place, in this weekend, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that this is not just a weekend experience, but Father, this is something that is going to begin to propel us into the next season for what you have for every single person that is gathered here this weekend. So we thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. And we thank you, Father, for what you're going to continue to do. And so we welcome you again into this place tonight, Holy Spirit. And we lift you up, Jesus. And we give you the glory. We give you the honor. And we give you the praise. Come on, all together. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Come on, high five somebody next to you and say, you are looking good tonight. And you may be seated. I'm actually already going to go ahead and relocate myself to the ground because I already know how it's going to turn out. So this is just the way that it's going to be. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be here tonight. We came all the way from South Florida. We took two flights to get here. And people kept asking me, man, how was your travels here, Sean? And I said, it was actually absolutely amazing. There is nothing like an airplane that leaves on time, gets in early, and your baggage is the first one out of the baggage claim. Somebody say some favor. Nothing like a little bit of favor. I love favor when I travel. Thank you, team. Give these guys just a little clap. And They are on point. I loved it. The moment that we pulled on property tonight, the team welcomed us with handshakes and love. We walked right into the hallway over here, and my big bro, Teddy Shuttlesworth Jr. Thank you. I was going to say, that is not a strange name in this place. That is a household name in this place. And he greeted me with a hug, and he greeted me with a Red Bull, and he said, cheers to you. Let's get the party started. Actually, no, I said, cheers to you. Let's get the party started. I did not down the whole entire Red Bull, lest you think that my energy, my hype, and my excitement came from a miniature beverage in a can. Did not happen. I took a courtesy sip, and then I sat it back down. It was just a courtesy sip. Yeah, I know you did. I know. So when you hear him tonight say, yes, amen, that could be the Red Bull. I don't know. But we'll see what happens. But I am so thrilled to be here tonight. Listen, we are going to have a good time. I believe we've already been having a good time. But I want to let you know this, that this weekend is not just about a good time. If you came here for a good time, you know, I hate to break it to you that if that's all you came to expect this weekend, then you're missing it. Because I believe that what is going to take place this weekend is going to be life-changing. Somebody say life-changing. Come on, tell somebody next to you, life-changing. This is going to be a life-changing weekend if you have come ready to receive, if you have come ready to be able to let the Holy Spirit just begin to speak to you, just begin to invade your space. You know, sometimes, you know, for me, I don't like my space being invaded. I like to be all like, you know, back off me. Like I said, we just took like two airplanes here, and there was a gentleman that was sitting in our row, and it was a three-seated row, and the gentleman was slightly larger, and I felt like the shifting up against the window like this, and my space was slightly invaded. Who likes their space invaded? You like your space invaded? If you don't like your space invaded, raise your hand. I think that's probably most of us in here. Yeah, I don't like my space invaded, but when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to the presence of God, when it comes to Jesus, there's something that just begins to shift in me that just says, Lord, invade my space. Take over all of me, not part of me, but all of me. And I believe that this is a weekend that the Lord, if you are willing, can invade your space, take over your life, and he can change you. He can change you. He can change you. He can change you and set you up to walk out the life that he has planned for you. In fact, one of the things that I want to talk to you guys tonight is the fact that you were created with purpose. Somebody say purpose. You were created with purpose. When God created us, he created us with purpose in mind. He didn't create you to do nothing. He created you to do something. And the thing that I love about it is this, is that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says that he created us in his image and his likeness. Image is suggesting the fact that we are literally reflecting him in appearance. And likeness is the fact that we are able to reflect him in action. So it's not that we just resemble God, but it's also the fact that we resemble God and we can actually act and move when we're filled with his spirit and his presence and his power to be like him. Because God created us in his image, in his likeness. But here's the thing that's so phenomenal about it, is that he did not create any two of us the same. Now, I know there's probably somebody out there and said, oh yeah, well, what about identical twins? Well, maybe on the external, there might be a similar appearance, a similar resemblance, but God did not create any two the same. Thank God, because I don't think the world could handle another Sean Thomas. Another Sean Thomas would probably drive the world crazy, because I can tell you sometimes I drive myself crazy. Sometimes I get alone to myself and I just begin to think and I just begin to speak. And anybody talk to themselves in here? Any? Yeah, I know that like every hand should be going up. Maybe you don't audibly say it. Maybe you don't audibly, you know, take time and just say, how you doing, good looking? You're looking pretty good today. That's what I do. You might have your own verbiage, but, you know, I say, I think that I'm good looking. You don't have to, but I think that I'm good looking with this crazy hairline and all. Yeah, give it up for hairlines that are receding. If you've got a receded hairline, say amen.
There's probably three of us in the room that have receded hairlines. My wife says it's to keep me humble. She says you spend so much time at the gym pumping up that your hairline keeps you humble. Well, maybe that is the humility factor to my life. Thank God for that. But I can't help but to understand that the Lord created me in His image and His likeness. So I look in the mirror and I say, thank you, God, for creating me. I think more of us need to take time and look in the mirror and say, thank you, God, for creating me. Not many of us really take the time to really understand that you are uniquely created. No one else can do what you can do. No one else can do what you can do. And that's so special because God has crafted us in such a way that we were formed to be able to do a specific task. Now, maybe, you know, you look out in the world and you see people that have, you know, the same job, or, you know, some people might have similar talent or doing some of the same things. But the reality is down to the very center of who we are, there is not another person out there like you, because God loved you so much that He said, I'm going to create each and every single one of my children uniquely, specifically in my image, in my likeness, and they'll never be two of the same. So tonight, I want you to understand that you were created with purpose. Come on, somebody say, I was created with purpose. Now, that's not what the message of tonight is, but I feel like we have to kind of set that up in order to get where I believe where the Lord wants us to go tonight. The Lord dealt with me on a very particular subject tonight. It's not a popular subject. It's not one that, in fact, most churches are preaching today. It's not one that's necessarily very accepted in the church. We might, you know, have a version of it, but when it comes down to it, most churches aren't living out these two words, and it's righteousness and holiness. I said it's righteousness and it's holiness. Righteousness to be in right standing before the one who created me, and holiness to be set apart, that I don't look like the way that this world looks, but I look like the God in heaven who has created me. You know, in the book of Romans, there's a scripture in there that says that everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. But we live in a world today that we treat everything as permissible, meaning I have permission to do anything that I want to do, and the benefits of it are going to be good. They're going to be great. They're going to be what I want them to be. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Last night, your pastor took us out to dinner. He took us to a little pizza restaurant, and he had ordered all of these pizzas that came out to the table. Now, I had been fasting all week preparing for tonight, but when those pizzas came out, something changed in me. In fact, I had already pre-warned my wife, I had already told myself, and I had already told the Lord, tonight I will feast. And tomorrow we will preach. And so we're sitting around the table and these pizzas come out. And there was this, they call it a chicken wing pizza. Apparently there's a few chicken wing pizza lovers in here. It was no Little Caesars we went to. It was a place that when you walked in there, it was so pungent. Oh my goodness, my nostrils begin to flare up. I was just like, oh, it's like a blanket of grease that just hit me in the face. I was so excited. I didn't show it, but I was excited. I was very excited. Inside of me, there was like joys of hand claps going on. We're going to eat tonight. So these pizzas, they come to the table, and I looked at them. And in all honesty, I'm an eater. Anybody like to eat? Anybody hungry right now? It's too bad. We got 3 more hours of service to go. I'm kidding. Just 2. But we were sitting there, and I'm so hungry, and I look at this food, and I'm like, I could totally kill a whole pizza. Anybody ever, and this is probably more for the guys, you ever looked at me like, man, I could murder that. That's the only time that, like, the word murder is acceptable, is when you're talking about food. Anything outside of food, it's not acceptable. And so I looked at that, and like inside of me, I was like, I could murder that whole entire pizza. Let me tell you, it was permissible. I had permission. I had the right. Your pastor put it in front of me, and he said, here, have at it. But can I tell you that if I were to eat that entire pizza, it would have not been beneficial? It would have not benefited me one bit? And the reality is this, is that in life, we struggle because our spirit man is at war with our flesh man. And while inside of me, my spirit man was saying, Sean, don't eat that entire pizza. My flesh man was saying, I want the entire thing. So the spirit just gave me permission to eat 4 slices instead of 8. Followed by a cup of Sprite and an ice cream cone with 2 scoops of ice cream instead of 3. Even though the flesh wanted 3, I went with 2. Man, was I hungry. But that's the reality is this. If I were to go in there and do that, it wouldn't have been beneficial. It was permissible. It was put in front. And I can't help but to think, how many things in our life is put in front of us? How many things in our life is laid out in front of us? How many times do we look at things and say, well, that's not really that bad? Scripture says everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. But we live in a world today that everything is okay. We live in a world today that as Christians, as the body of Christ, we say that everything's permissible and everything is beneficial. In fact, we go so far today and we say, you know what? If in order for us to reach the world, the church has to look more like the world. If we're gonna benefit as a church, let's not worry about as much about righteousness and holiness. Let's just have better music. Let's just have better lights. Let's just have better videos, because that's what's gonna benefit the church. And that's the problem that we have today, is that churches are growing. They're getting bigger. But the thing that we see is that they're not getting stronger, because we have forfeited holiness and righteousness so that we can live a permissible life thinking that everything is beneficial. The line that's been drawn between good and bad has been moved. That needle has been shifted so much so that we are desensitized as Christians, thinking that it's okay to live our life the way that the world says that they can live or that we can live. And when we begin to let our lives be opened up to the things of this world, we begin to put ourselves in a position that our lives become destroyed. Sin's fun for a season, but there comes a point in that season where it becomes destructive. And we have to understand that it is so important to know that we are created in God's image, in God's likeness. But I'm going to take it a step further, because I have a scripture here that is out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and verse 10. It says this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Somebody say, for good works. We were created as God's workmanship. God put us together. He worked us together in order for us to do good works. Somebody say, good works. So why is it, though, if we are created as God's workmanship, that we're not doing good works? As followers of Christ, as Christians, why are we not doing good works? Can I maybe tell you that the reason for that is because we're too busy wanting to have a good time? Many of us don't do good works because we're too busy wanting to have a good time. The church today is not worried about good works. They want to have a good time. They want the church to be a social event. They want the church to be a party. They want the church to be a place that you can walk in with your sin and you can walk out with your sin. And it's okay, because there's a grace card that says that I can just put that down and everything's okay because God loves me and forgives me. Listen, God loves you. God forgives you. But when you're not willing to be dedicated and sold out for righteousness and holiness, you're never going to be empowered to do anything good in your life. Your purpose is predicated upon the fact that you are empowered to do good. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you're going to always get it right. For it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. We all mess up. We all get it wrong. There's probably some of us that came tonight to Uproar, and before you got here, you probably said something foolish.
You probably did something foolish. You probably act a little bit crazy. And you're like, man, why did I do that? Well, thank God you're in the right place tonight, where God can make all things new and turn your situation right around. But we have to understand that we are created to do good. To do good. It's not about a good time. It's about living out a life separated from the world and activated by God so that we can pursue what God has placed in here. Could you imagine that one thing, if it were possible, that one thing, that if I could just fulfill this one dream in my life, if I could just become fill in the blank, if I could just achieve, you know what it is. Could you imagine coming to that place, right, where you know that thing that you want to do in life? I'm here to tell you tonight that all things are possible in Christ Jesus. And when you're willing to live set apart and holy before the Lord, He now empowers you with His Spirit so that you can pursue the greatness that is inside of you. There is greatness inside of each of you. But we have to understand that who we are in Christ is not just about a good time. Amen. It's not just about a good time. See, that's the problem that I see with so many Christians, is they just want to have a good time. Why? Because good times suggest the fact that I'm going to feel something, that it's an experience. Listen, your walk with Jesus is not based upon an experience. It's not based upon a momentary high. It's a lifestyle that is set apart, that you're living for the Lord, saying, Lord, I need you to give me the strength and give me the wisdom to live a life that would please you. But that's what we get ourselves caught up in, is just a good church is a good time. I want to tell you this, is that the church and who we are in Jesus cannot be sensational. It has to be relational. It's about a relationship with Jesus. It's about understanding that my Creator, who created me, it's about me being able to walk in harmony. What's harmony? In unity. What's unity? To be connected with my God. That is what the purpose is of the Christian life, is for us to understand that it's relationship with our Creator. And so with that in mind, I want to bring you tonight to what I want to share with you. In fact, I titled tonight, Tear It Down. Come on, somebody say, tear it down. Say it like you mean it. Tear it down. I want to talk to you tonight about this subject that I call Tear It Down. As I mentioned, God created us to do good. But what happens is this: when we start to do good and we start to have success, and we start to have victory, when we start to be able to progress in the things that we're doing, sometimes if we don't understand that my life is based upon a lifestyle in my Creator, having relationship with Jesus, we begin to treat our success as if we're the ones doing it, as if we're responsible for how good we are, as if we're the ones who we get to pat on the shoulder and say, you did a good job at that. And the moment that we begin to remove God out of the success that He gives us, then all of a sudden there's this little word called pride. Pride begins to creep in. Now, the thing with pride is this, is that pride is a real killer. Pride will destroy your life. And see, Satan wants to use pride to destroy you. Why? Because pride is what destroyed him. See, we have to remember that Satan was given all these gifts, all these talents. His purpose was to be able to lead all of God's creation into worship. And all of a sudden, Satan was like, man, I'm the lead singer, and these vocals are kind of hot right now. And, you know, look at my skinny jeans, and look how good I look, and look how wonderful I sound. And Satan was starting to be like, oh man, my success is based upon me. And God was like, yo, hold up. Hold up, Lucifer. Lou, you better simmer down a little bit. And he walked around saying, I am the greatest. I will exalt myself even above God. And when that happened, the Lord looked at him and he said, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, dog, you done. And we know that the story is this, is that the Lord, he looks at Lucifer and he says, okay, I'm going to give you the boot. I'm kicking you out of heaven. You and a third of your groupies are going to roll with you. Because he was a lead singer of a band and bands have groupies. And okay, that was for me. So you have to understand this is that Satan's fall came out of pride. So wouldn't you think that naturally what he's going to try and make us do is put us in a position where we become prideful? Put us in a position that the moment that we think we've got it together because of who God is, we put God aside and we think it's because of who we are. I did that. I made that happen. I got that new job. I won that football game. I wrote and sang that song. The moment that we start putting I, and we remove God, we begin to build up this pride. And pride comes before the fall. And so when we understand this, we understand that Satan will use those things to destroy us. Now, I want to speak to you tonight out of the book of Judges in chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 11, but I want to kind of give you the setup, give you the backstory of what's going on here. We see in the book of Judges, it's at a time where the nation of Israel had begun to have incredible success because the Lord was with them. The Lord was giving the Israelites success and victory. He had led them into the land that he had promised. They begin to conquer over all of these other people groups, and they begin to wipe out all these other armies. And the Lord was allowing them to conquer the territory that he had promised them, little by little by little. But there came a point that all of a sudden the nation of Israel lost sight of the fact that it was the Lord that was on their side. They had forgotten the miracles that God had done for them. They had completely ignored where God had brought them from, wandering around aimlessly for 40 years, now into a place that he promised them. They had forgotten about the fact that they had walked around Jericho and walls came down. They had forgotten about the fact that they had incredible victory because God was on their side. And what was taking place is the nation of Israel, as they were beginning to literally populate this whole promised land, this whole region, this whole area that God set aside, they begin to forget the ways of serving the Lord, and they begin to take on the ways that the pagans or the people that did not know the Lord, they begin to take on their customs and their ways, and they begin to live like the world. It's kind of like us. When we forget to live a life that is to serve the Lord, we slowly begin to take on the ways of the world. And so what began to take place was this, is that the Israelites, they were no longer serving the Lord. And so what happened was that it literally said in the scriptures that God just said, hey, I'm taking my hand off of you, and you are now going to be in the hands of a people group called the Midianites. Somebody say the Midianites. Midianites. And so we begin to read here in the book of Judges that God's people weren't serving the Lord, that they were in this rebellious state. They're handed over to the Midianites. And I got to tell you, this is so cruel. The Midianites, the way that they would mess with the nation of Israel is that they would steal their food. Could you imagine somebody stealing your food? Has anybody had food stolen from you before? I used to room with a couple of guys, and I remember one night I came home with a box of wings. Everybody's just thinking about wings right now. And I'm a drums guy. Not that, like drum legs, right? I'm a drums guy, and so I had ordered these wings. I was in the middle of wings, and I was about to tear it down. Literally, ba-boom. Title of the message, tear down. I was about to tear it down. And I remember I'm sitting there, and I was like, oh, wait, hold on a second. I left something in my car. What it was? It was a bag of fries. So I ran out to the car, and I pulled out the bag of fries. and I ran back upstairs, and my wings were gone. And I looked where they were, and I looked at my roommate, and I looked where they were, and he was totally guilty because he just had around his mouth nothing but like a ring of barbecue sauce. And he knew he was guilty because he didn't say anything. He just looked at me and did that. I don't like when people take my food. My wife knows. I don't even like when she takes my food. And she's my wife. So I have had to learn to generously order extra food. And so I am not one. Don't get him. Don't invade my space and take my food. But we see here that the nation of Israel, they're under attack from the Midianites, and the Midianites are just like jacking their food. They are stealing their food. So much so that we find out here in Judges chapter 6 and verse 11 that there's a young man by the name of Gideon, and it says this, starting in verse 11, it says, "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath a great tree at Ophrah." Almost sounds like Oprah. The Lord might need to sit with Oprah, but he's sitting at Ophrah here in this portion of scripture. And the tree belonged to Joash, who was of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. Do you catch that? Buddy was worried that his grain was going to be taken by the Midianites, so he's actually hiding in this wine press, threshing the grain, hiding it, so that they can't find his food. And so we see here that the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and he said, "Mighty hero," somebody say, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Well, you don't have to say that part, but go for it. The Lord is with you. There we go. But he says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say that the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." And I want you to catch something here. Here's Gideon. He's approached now by the Lord, and his response is, "Sir." When most people, when you read about in the Bible, are approached from the Lord, their response back is, "Lord, God." The respect level of who God is, they're in awe. But what we have to understand is what's going on in this scripture is that the nation of Israel is not serving God, and they don't have a revelation of who the presence of God is. Gideon did not have a revelation of who the presence of God was or is, and so he looks and he says, "Sir." See, when we are not living for God, especially as Christians, how can we discern the Spirit of God when He is calling upon us? How can we discern the presence of God when He's trying to empower us to do certain things? We can't. And so we see here that Gideon, hiding his food in the bottom of his wine press, is approached by the Lord. But I find it interesting that the very first thing out of the Lord's mouth is, "Hey, mighty hero." He says, "Hey, mighty hero, the Lord is with you." See, I find that to be very interesting because if I was the Lord and I happen to show up on the scene and I happen to see this dude by the name of Gideon, who clearly, you know, he's him and their entire nation are not serving the Lord, I would probably be like, "Bro, you're a hot wreck and you need to get it together. Listen, I saw what you did yesterday. That was stupid. I'm calling upon you. You're stupid." That might be me, but that wasn't the Lord. The Lord says, "Hey, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. I am with you." And that's important for us to see because when God looks at you, He doesn't look at you 5 minutes ago. He doesn't even look at you right now. He looks at you as to who He's called you to be. God looks at your life and He speaks future over your life. God doesn't care if you came into Uproar tonight busted and disgusted, looking a hot wreck. He doesn't care tonight if your fade ain't right. He doesn't care tonight if you got a scuff on your Jordans. He doesn't care if you yelled a curse word at your sibling or your friend. He does not care if someone talked bad about you on Snapchat and you talk bad about them back on Snapchat. All that he cares about is where you are going. The Lord looks at you and he says, hey, there's a hero in you, and I am with you if you would just recognize that you're in the presence of the Lord. It is important for us as Christians to recognize that we can be in the presence of the Lord, and we can be the heroes that God has called us to be. There is a hero in each of you, destined for greatness, destined to fulfill purpose. And so we continue reading, and we find out that he looks back at the Lord and he says, but I don't understand. How are you with me when you abandon us? How are you with me, in fact, where he says that you handed us over to the Midianites? Can I tell you that the Lord never handed his people over to the Midianites? See, as Christians, when we know that we're supposed to serve the Lord, when we know we're supposed to walk right before the Lord, but instead we want to live a life that's based upon what we want and how we want to live, you completely remove God from being able to be active in your life. You no longer have the protection of the Lord in your life. And these people, God's people, they removed themselves from being able to let the Lord be active in their life. And Gideon had a problem with that. It's like, dude, you're the reason why God can't do anything. Just, you know, straighten up. Let's get it together. And so Gideon couldn't comprehend this. But we find out here, as we continue reading, it says, but Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? See, the Lord said, or the Lord turned to him and said, go with strength that you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. I got a question. If God's created us for success, if God's created you for purpose, what do you think being successful is all about? See, I heard Pastor Spencer say, who wants to be blessed? And y'all did what? Who wants to be blessed? Thank you. But why is it so important that we're blessed? Is it so that I can have the accolades of life? Is it so that I can drive my dream car? Is it so that I can have the things that I... Is that the purpose of being blessed? Have money in my pocket? Being able to just, you know, buy myself stuff, do things that I want to do? Is that the purpose of being blessed? I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with having stuff. There's nothing wrong with being able to buy nice things, wear nice things, drive nice things, go nice places, eat good food. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But if you think the purpose for you to be blessed is based upon that, then you've missed it. The purpose of you being blessed is so that you can be an influence in the world that you live. Do you really think somebody that does not know the Lord is going to look at somebody who's broken down, who's a hot wreck, who's a mess, who doesn't have it together, and say, I want to know Jesus because? Are you really going to go to somebody who is just a hot mess in life expecting to be influenced? No. Our influence always comes from that person that's that next level up. Can I tell you that you can be that next level up? And that is the purpose and the reason why we have to live a blessed life, so that we can be a greater influence, so that we can expand the kingdom of God. And so the Lord's looking at him and he's saying, listen, I'm sending you. You've got my strength. You've got my blessing. I'm sending you. I wonder how many of you are sitting here tonight that the Lord's been knocking on your door saying, I'm sending you. But instead, you're just sitting on what God's calling you to do, saying, Lord, you abandoned me. God, I gave my heart to you, but you weren't there. God, I loved you, but you didn't make it happen, so I decided to do it in my own strength, in my own way. only to find ourselves just being a failure. I mean, the Lord's saying, no, you don't understand. You got to be set apart. You got to walk in right standing before me because I need to send you. You are that mighty hero that I've called you to be. And Gideon replies to this, but Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least of my entire family. Isn't that like us? I am the least. I'm not good enough. I'm not qualified. It said that he was of the least tribe, of the weakest tribe, excuse me, and he was the least, meaning he was the youngest. He was of the weakest tribe, and he was the youngest. But yet God said, I'm sending you. See, God's not looking on the outside. God looks according to the heart of man and of woman. God doesn't care where you came from. He doesn't care what your background is. He doesn't care what you're going through. He's not worried or bothered by any of that. No, he's knocking on your door saying, I am sending you. You can't be worried about what's not necessarily working out for you in life. You can't be worried about, I'm not good enough, I'm not qualified. In fact, I had a friend, his name was Josh, and he liked to play baseball, and Josh was an okay baseball player, and he wanted to pitch, and his dream was, I want to go and play pro. And I was like, dude, you can't even play, like, I don't know what you can play. I remember, like, he was a good friend of mine, but I was like, no, like, seriously? Like, dude, you're not good. I told him that. I was like, you're not good. And I meant that, like, with all sincerity because he was my boy. And I was like, Josh, just stop yourself. At this point, you're now just embarrassing me. It's not even about you anymore. It's about me now. I don't like where this is going. It's not going good. And he was like, no, I can do it. I can do it. And that was when we were about like 10 years old. A couple years had passed by, and he actually started to be able to develop, you know, his throwing arm. And I remember the coaches, they started letting Josh throw and pitch in the game. And I was like, I don't know if this is good, but we'll see. And so he did okay, and then we got to high school, and when he was in high school, he never started the games, but he was like, I just want to play pro ball. I know that I have the ability, and I'm like, dude, where is it then? We've been doing this game for like 8 years. Where's this ability coming from? I believe with you, but let's just not let us have insanity about this thing. You know, you're doing the same thing over and over and over. We ain't getting no new results. You're getting the same results. But he worked at it, and he practiced, and he practiced, and he practiced. Eventually, he was able to go to college and play college ball. He actually got good enough to play college ball. And he went to college for 4 years, and at the end of the fourth year, he actually got picked up by a farm league baseball team. And I was like, whoa, Josh, you're doing good, man. He played for a couple of years, farm league baseball team. And would you have it, a year and a half ago, I'm flipping through the channels, and I find out that my buddy Josh got drafted to play starting pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds. I share that because it's important to understand it doesn't matter how weak people think you are on the outside. It doesn't matter how of the least of where you came from you might feel or where you might think that you might be. It's important to understand that God's not looking on the outside. He's looking on the inside. And when you're willing to be committed to serve him and to run after the things that he's placed inside of you, where man says it's impossible, God says it's absolutely possible. I am sending you. I need you to not give up. I need you to not give in. I need you to not quit. I need you to keep pushing. rejoicing for the prize that I have set before you that comes in Jesus Christ. There is a race, and if you can run it, if you can be the one that I am sending, then I will elevate you to that position where you can have success and blessing and victory. And now people are going to see the goodness and the greatness that is coming out of you. And when it comes out of you, the world's going to say, I want to be like that. I want to look like that. I want to reflect that. And when that happens, you're going to say, well, you can. You know why that you can? Because we have a God who has created us uniquely and specifically to fulfill the dreams that are in our heart. You were created to do something, not nothing. And Gideon here, he's looking at this thing and he's like, I don't understand. I'm of the weakest tribe. I'm of the least of my family. And the Lord said, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. I will give you so much favor and so much victory, it's going to feel like nothing. Gideon replied, if you're truly going to help me, show me a sign. Isn't that like us? Lord, if you're really there, you need to prove yourself. And so he says, I'm going to run off and I'm going to go bring you an offering and we're going to put this thing to test and see if you're really God. And so he goes over and he gets in his house and he cooks up this goat pizza for me. No goat. Not even curry goat. No kind of goat. Maybe a lamb, not a goat. He makes this goat. He has this pot of broth. He brings it back and he sets it before the Lord. And the Lord is there in the form of this angel, and he's got this big old staff. And he just touches it with his staff. And all of a sudden, there's like this wild fireworks show, and this offering that he set down before the Lord bursts up in flames, and there's like this whole entire crazy, like, Chris Angel mind freak episode that happens, and then the angel of the Lord disappears, and it's like this entire crazy, like, Vegas magic show happening before Gideon, and he goes, oh my gosh, you are real now. Once you were there, but now you are gone, you must be real. And he has this total freak out. Has this total freak out. But I love it, because here's what happens, is he says, when Gideon realized, in Judges 6, starting in verse 22, when Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, O sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord says, it's all right. Don't be afraid. You're not going to die. And Gideon built an altar to the Lord, and he named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. In verse 25, it says this, that night, the Lord came back to Gideon, and he said, take a second bull from your father's herd, the one that's 7 years old, and he says, tear down your father's altar to Baal. Cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God, here on this hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar, using as fuel the wood of the Asherah pole you cut down. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord commanded. So the Lord proves to be true before Gideon. Gideon goes now and he makes a sacrifice on the altar before the Lord. But then God comes back to him and he says, I need you to make another sacrifice. Now, I was reading that and I was puzzled why the Lord came and asked him to make another sacrifice. But as we continue to read, as the Lord tells him, take a second bull, make another sacrifice, he says, but this time you need to tear down the altar of Baal. You need to tear down this altar that has been desecrated, this place that is not pure. You need to tear down these things that makes the altar unholy, that makes the altar not right before me, and then present before me a sacrifice. See, when we are living our lives as Christians, as lives that are permissible, doing anything we want, expecting everything to be gain, expecting everything to be what we want, and then when we run into crisis, when we run into trouble, when we run into certain circumstances and hard situations, and we cry before the Lord, and we say, Lord, I need your help. God is saying, how do you want me to help you? You're not living a life with a pure altar. You're laying your life before me, because in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before me. And it follows in verse 2 by saying, but do not conform to the world, but be transformed. We are living our lives conforming to the world. We're not living our lives set apart as holy. And so as Christians, when we run into trouble, God's looking at us and saying, your altar is not clean. Your altar is not set apart. So how do you expect me to do anything in your life? How do you expect me to activate the purpose that I've set in your life? How do you expect me to fulfill the dreams that I've put inside of you? You can't live your life one foot in the world and trying to put one foot in my kingdom. Too many of us are still trying to hold on to the world and trying to grasp on to the kingdom of God. And God is saying, you have to learn to tear down those altars of Baal. You have to be able to remove those things that you are putting as number one in your life. See, the altar of Baal in this time, in this day, was just a false god. It was a pagan god. It was a man-made wooden carved image that was set up, and they'd go and they'd pray to this thing. And they had this thing called an Asherah pole, which basically was like a wooden stick that was in the ground. It's probably something you could play tetherball with. And they got this thing, and they're bowing down to it, and they're worshiping it, expecting it, that it's going to like produce all these amazing things in their life. And the Lord's saying, you're trying to make a sacrifice on this altar that is given over to the world, that is given over to this fake, false, like just messed up idea of a god. Hold up, tear down that altar, build me a new altar, and now let your sacrifice become holy before me. The altars of Baal that are in our life is anything that takes primary. I am so bothered when I look around today and I'm seeing Christians spending more time getting involved with their social media than they are getting in before the worship and the praise before God. We start our day trying to check our status, and yet we want God to do his part and fulfill our dreams. It bothers me when we're looking at today and people are running around chasing these fictional characters on their phones. Oh, I got to find myself a Pokemon today. And you're wondering why God ain't doing nothing in your life. You need to let your praise to God take precedent over a Pokemon. People are driving into trees. Oh, I can see if I can find this thing. Driving into trees. And then they get upset because insurance ain't covering their car bills. I'm sorry, we can't fix your car. Why not? Because you are chasing a Pokemon. Don't you understand, though, that I get awards for chasing this thing? No, you don't. Your award is a broken car. And they get mad, and they're suing insurance companies because they want them to pay for the damages that they're doing looking for these foolish characters. But we look around the world today, and it's everywhere. There's so many things that become the primary altar to our life. We can go down the line of it. It's not just the social media. It's anything that takes number one in your life before your Heavenly Father. I'm not saying it's bad to be on social media. I'm not saying it's bad to be into the latest trends. I'm not saying it's bad to watch TV and to do these things. But if this is the stuff that is first and foremost in your life, then don't expect God to do anything in your life. We want God to serve us rather than us serving God. We have to start learning to serve the Lord and to live a life that's set apart from the world. How are we going to win the world for the kingdom of God if we're not set apart from the world?
how are we going to be a difference? How are we going to be the ones that's going to advance the kingdom? And that's where we've run into it today, because we're more invested in advancing our ego, our status, rather than advancing God's kingdom. And people look at you and they say, church is what? You can't come into church and say, Lord, I worship you, and then walk out and start talking the way that everybody else talks. You can't come in here tonight and say, Jesus, I love you, and then walk out these doors and say, well, you know, I'm going to do whatever I want to do tonight. Holiness is to be set apart. Holiness is to not look like the world. It is time that we start looking like who God's created us to be. If we're going to be the generation, not of today, if we're going to be the generation of tomorrow, then we got to get our act together. If we're going to be the ones that God is going to use, then there has to be a standard. And we've lowered our standard. We have lowered our standard as God's holy people. Because there's going to come a day that we're going to stand before the Lord and He's not going to say, what was your latest snap? He's going to say, what did you do with my son? Our life in Christ, it's not about a belief. It's a lifestyle set apart. You don't advance the kingdom running around just doing foolish things. You advance the kingdom when you live a life that's dedicated by faith to the Lord. Mark this down. When your passion for presence is greater for your passion for pleasure, you advance the kingdom of God. Passion for presence has to overtake the passion for pleasure. We cannot live for the momentary high. Uproar Conference cannot be about a momentary high. It has to be about living a life that's empowered by Christ so that we can pursue what God has placed inside of us. I asked your pastor, I said, what's the theme? And he said, it's to live as a lion. Lions, at least when I see lions, they're not these quiet little cubs that hide in a corner. But they know who they are and they take their stance. If you're going to live as a lion, you're going to have to take your stand. And you're going to have to say no to the world and yes to Jesus. I'm going to share a story with you and we're going to close tonight. I grew up in the church. My parents raised me in the church. I always knew that my life was meant to do something good. I knew that God had a purpose and a plan for my life because I was told this in my entire life. At a young age, I was involved in children's ministry, and when I was in middle school, junior high, and high school, I was involved in my youth group. Who loves youth group? Loved youth group. And I felt at the age of 16 that the Lord had a call upon my life. And so I started to get more involved in youth group, and the opportunities came that I was able to share. You know, at that time was 10-minute sermons, and, you know, now we're under an hour. We're doing good. And I remember that the Lord was advancing me. Things were happening, and it was great. I was excited just about living for God. And I remember one day, it was on a Sunday morning after service, and this gentleman in our church, he came up to me, and he said to me, Sean, I see what you're doing in youth group, and it's amazing. I just want to celebrate you for a moment because, you know, you're young and you're hungry for God, and I'm excited about seeing God working in you. But it was the next words that came out of his mouth that altered that season of my life. And he said, however, you know, if you could just be
half the man that your father or your grandfather is, then you'll be successful in the ministry. Because see, my grandfather, he founded our church, Abundant Life, back at home. And my father took over as senior pastor of the church. And they were mighty men of God doing great things, living out the purpose that God had put inside of them. And this man spoke into my life and said something into my life that if I could only just be half of that, that I might possibly be successful. And I thought to myself, wow. My life is going to be measured off of who I have to be like, and I have to obtain to be at least half of that? I don't know if I can do that. Lord, there's no way that I can do that. And I let the words that this gentleman spoke into my life, it was in truth, it was a lie, it was not right, it was completely wrong, but I let these words that were spoken into my life begin to shape my reality, and I thought to myself, that if I'm ever going to be successful, I have to be like somebody else. And I said, and this came out of a man who's in the church, so this must be godly. And so if this is godly and I have to be like somebody else, I don't want to live my life like that. Which meant, I don't want to live my life for you, God. I'm better off just doing my own thing. And I found myself getting very distant from the Lord. And at that time, about a year and a half had gone by, and I had graduated from high school, and I said, I'm out of here. Anybody that's graduated from high school knows what I'm talking about. We're out of here. It's party time. But my motive wasn't to party. My motive was to get away from everything that I was told that I had to be and figure out and my strength, who I wanted to be. And so I got away and I moved, not to another state, not even to another city. I hightailed it to another country. And I lived in Costa Rica for 4.5 months. I pulled a prodigal son. I went to my parents and I said, give me everything you got. And I took it and I went my way. And I found myself completely separated from the Lord. Now, I knew God. I'd given my life to God. I received Jesus. I knew what it was to have relationship with God. But I was no longer serving God. I was no longer coming before the Lord saying, God, I need you. Use me. Send me. Like Gideon, I'm sending you. I was no longer in a place where I wanted the Lord to send me to do anything. I wanted to do my own thing. And I'm living in this country, and I begin to find myself now defining my life based upon what I wanted. Everything was permissible, and you better believe at that time in my life, everything I thought was beneficial. And I partied. I went out to clubs. I got drunk like every night. I was hanging out with people that were just bad news. Like, you ever been with somebody that's just, you know, that you look at them and they're bad news. I was with those people, becoming those people, and I was letting the altar that was once pure before the Lord now all of a sudden become burdened and become filled with all these things of the world. And months had gone by, and I was living this wild and crazy life. But all of a sudden, I remember one morning, I'd gone about my day, and I came home, and I felt empty inside. And I said to myself, this is weird. I felt like just giving up on life. I felt like I was the weakest tribe, and I was the least of that tribe. There was nothing in it for me. And I sat on the edge of the bed, and I literally contemplated life. And I said, Lord, go figure. That's what came out of my mouth. I said, Lord, if this is what my life is supposed to be, fine. But I'll never be somebody else. But if this is where my path has taken me, I'm okay. And if this is the end of it for me, I'm totally fine with it. Now, I'm not someone who struggles with depression. I'm not someone who walks around just negative. I'm probably one of the most optimistic people you'll ever meet in life. If it's cloudy out, there's a sun hiding behind that cloud. You just got to look hard enough and it's there. I'm a very optimistic person. But I'm sitting on the edge of the bed contemplating my life. And I remember that I reached into my suitcase and I pulled out a fifth of Jack Daniels, a bottle of whiskey. And I said, if this is what it's about, cheers to life. And I drank the entire bottle that night. It was like that big. It was a big bottle. And I remember I had pulled it out of that suitcase because about a month and a half prior to my father had came to visit me in Costa Rica, and I had just moved into this new place, and knowing him, he was probably going to want to check out every little thing to make sure that, you know, that the place was okay and cool. And so I remember I knew he was coming, so I took that bottle and I hid it in my bag because I didn't want him to know that what I was up to. And here I am sitting on the edge of the bed, and now I pull it out of that suitcase and I drink this whole thing, and I wake up the next morning, and it was very interesting. I couldn't move. You say, well, duh, you just drank a whole bunch of whiskey. Of course you couldn't move. But I knew it wasn't from the night before. There was something that I felt was just weighing me down. And it wasn't a heaviness like a negative feeling, but it was like this pressure that was holding me in my bed and I couldn't get up. Like try to lean forward. Keep going. It was like that. That's what I did over and over and over again. And I was freaking out because I'd never experienced this before. I had never been in a place where I could not move. And I was aware in the natural looking around, but I could not move. And this went on for 30 minutes. Fighting it. Finally, with everything that I had, I just yelled out at the top of my lungs, let me go! And I got up. And I was like, that is so bizarre. And so, kind of shook it off, and I went, hopped in the shower, because where I live, there was no AC, and it was like hot as blazes. So, like, I just was like, I need to take a cold shower. I was sweating. I got into the shower, and all of a sudden, as I'm in the shower, I started to lose my hearing. Couldn't hear a thing. It wasn't like I got water in my ears. It was like deaf. Like, I couldn't hear anymore. Then all of a sudden, I lost my sight. I went, like, blurred. Like, just... The only way that I could describe how it was is, like, you know, like, when you're, like, swimming underwater, and you're underwater for like so long where you just your eyes can't take it anymore and you're trying to like look underwater and it's like, I can't take that, and I come up above the water. It was like that kind of blur. And I just begin to tremble and shake as I'm in the shower, and I just begin to kind of get like this, and I look down, and all of a sudden my eyes begin to open up. And the best way that I can describe this part to you is like as if you're staring down a straw. I don't know if anybody's ever stared down a straw before, but that's, you know, that's about the size that I could see. And I'm looking down, and as I'm looking, it's like that's so small. It's like my line of sight, and I could only see about this far. And what I had forgotten was a couple days earlier, I had this little box in my room, and inside the box was a bunch of jewelry, and there was a necklace in there. And, you know, I was like, oh man, that's kind of cool. I haven't put that on for a while. So I threw it around my neck, not thinking anything about it. And as my eyes started to slowly open up, all I could see was at the end of that necklace. And that necklace that I happened to put on it, it happened to have a cross at the end of it. And I'm looking down, and all I could see that cross. It was the only thing that I could see. And all of a sudden, I began to feel what was like a warm embrace, like someone just coming over and hugging me. And I began to hear God begin to speak to me and begin to say, listen, Sean, I don't care where you go I don't care how far you run. No matter where you go, I'll always be with you. As long as you turn to me, I am your God, and I have created you. I have set you apart, and I will always be with you. Your life is not about who you have to look like or who you feel like you have to become. Your life is about nothing to prove, just one to please, and that's me. And I remember this always gets me because it's so real for me. And I remember God just began to speak to me saying, I love you. And I don't care how much you messed up. And I don't care who you were with or what you did. Listen, I don't care about that. All I see is future. All I see is mighty hero. I have a call upon your life. I'm sending you. Because what I want you to do, only you can do. Gideon, what I want you to do, only you can do. But you have to recognize that I am with you. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. I am with you till the end of time. And when you serve me, and when you live set apart, and when you live holy, and when you live in right standing with me, and when you have relationship with the one that I first sent for you, I will look at you and I will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of God. And I'm in this shower, and the presence of God is upon my life, and he's speaking to me. And I literally felt him as if he was saying, it's time to tear down those things that you've been putting on that altar. It's time to tear down those things in your life that are not of me. Tear them down. And when you can tear it down and let your life become a sacrifice before me, I will set you apart and I will cause you to walk in victory. I begin to weep. I begin to cry. I got out of that shower. And the Lord just began to renew me that day. I kind of felt like a Gideon now that I think about it. He began to renew me that day. And I knew what my purpose was. But can I give you a little second part? We have enough time? Okay. I got myself cleaned up and I was like, okay, God, still living in this foreign country. I've got a house, I've got a car, I've got a lot of stuff. And I knew that the Lord was calling me to come back home to South Florida. So I said, God, I have to trust you. Here I am. I'm a living sacrifice. I trust you. And so I said, God, I don't know what I'm going to do with all this stuff. And I don't know how I'm going to get home because at this point I had no more money anymore. I was tapped. And the Lord said, if you let yourself just be presented before me and if you just run after me, he said, I promise you, Sean, I'm going to have you home in 1 week. It was on a Wednesday that the Lord spoke to me and he said, next week Wednesday, you'll be home. I said, whoa. And so I said, okay, God, the only thing that I know to do now in order for you to prove that this is true, hold on, God, I'm going to go get an offering. Felt like Gideon. I'm going to go get an offering. And I ran to that suitcase that I pulled out that bottle of alcohol the night before. And in that suitcase, I happened to have $100 left. $100. I had a $100 bill sitting in an envelope tucked away. Why I knew it was there or why I didn't know it was there before, I can't understand. But why I knew it was there now, because I knew that God was like, go into your suitcase, there's an envelope. In your suitcase, pull out that envelope, and there will be what you need. And I went and I pulled that offering out. And I remember I went into a church service that night with this offering. And I said, God, I am going to give you $80 and sow this as an offering before you. And I know that you're going to prove yourself to be true. And so I sowed the seed of $80 and I kept the 20 for me just to make sure that I had enough to eat and live off of for a week. $20 goes a long way in a foreign country. All you can eat, like every day, on 20 bucks. Not 20 bucks a day, 20 bucks for a week. And so I bring this $80 and I set it before the Lord on the altar. Make the long story short, God divinely aligned it that in 1 week, from that Wednesday to the next Wednesday, every single possession that I had, I was able to sell. Every single thing that I needed to get rid of, every little thing that I was had in my life that I did not need anymore, God divinely set it up for me to sell it all. Now, can I tell you that I had $7,000 worth of stuff in this country that I was living in? And when I was willing to let my life become a sacrifice before the Lord and give of the offering that I had, I'm here to tell you tonight that when I left from that country, I left with $7,000 cash in my pocket. To the exact penny, the Lord restored and replenished and put back in perfect order. When you clean your life and let your life be set apart as holy and right before the Lord, He restores down to the tiniest little thing in your life. But your life has to be a sacrifice. And you cannot allow the altars of this world to stand between you and your heavenly Creator. There comes the point where you have to tear it down. Come on, I want somebody to say, tear it down. You have to tear it down. And when you can be willing to tear it down and get before the Lord, He says, now I make all things new. My question is, who's sitting here tonight that needs all things to be made new? Who's sitting here tonight that you know that you should be serving the Lord, but yet you come to church, but you still live like the world? Who is sitting here tonight that just feels guilty because you thought that you've blown it and you can't get it back, but you know as a good Christian I come to church, but really inside you're a wreck and you feel broken and a mess because you're like, I don't know what to do with myself. I've messed up and God does not love me anymore. No, that's wrong. God does love you. God loves you exactly as you are. He just does not want you to stay where you are. I believe tonight is a night that the Lord wants to tear down these things that we've built up in our life and allow our lives to become a sacrifice before Him. And when we can present ourselves before Him, He presents Himself before us and He says, I forgive you and I love you and I make all things new. So tonight, as we conclude, I'm going to ask every head bowed and every eye closed. And Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. God, we thank you because you love us. We thank you that we can come to you exactly as we are. And Lord, I know that there is people that are here tonight that maybe they don't even know you. Maybe this is the first time you set foot in a church service. And you say, Sean, I hear what you're saying. And I want to know God. My life is a mess, but I need to know this Jesus you've been talking about. There are things that are inside of me that I know have been holding me back. But I know that if I can get to God, then I can do those things that I know that it's in my heart. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you feel like, man, Sean, I've messed up so much. How could God accept me?
How could God still love me? I'm here to tell you that he does love you and he'll always love you. But tonight when you're willing to let everything go and let God in, he's here to receive you. So tonight, if you don't know who Jesus is as your personal Savior and you want to have a relationship with Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. If tonight you feel like you've just messed up over and over and over and over, and you feel like, I don't know if I can keep going, but I want to keep going because I know that if I can live my life set apart before the Lord, he can do a new thing in me. I want you to raise your hand. Tonight is a night of salvation. Tonight is a night that God makes all things new. I'm seeing hands going up all over the place. Tonight is your night to clean the altar. Tonight is a night that God wants to set you apart. Tonight is your night that he's making all things new. Those hands that are raised high, keep them high, keep them high, keep them high. Here's what I want you to do. Those hands that are high, I want you to come down to the altar tonight. Come down up front. We're going to pray. It doesn't matter if you've prayed a sinner's prayer 20 times. We're going to pray it again. I want you to, every hand that was raised, I want you to come down forward tonight. I know we had hands that were all in this section. I know it's hard when you feel like you're being put on the spot. Get this. The scripture says when you boldly come before me, when we're willing to come to him boldly and confess his name, Jesus says, now I'll confess you before the Father. See a whole bunch of young men. I like seeing young men. It means God's got a plan for each of you guys' lives. You guys are mighty warriors. Come on. My buddy now. I got to hang out with him in the hotel. Well, I didn't hang out, but like he saw me and he was and his Uncle Teddy was like, this guy's gonna speak tonight. And he was like, that's good. I was like, encouragement. No, this guy's awesome. If I could have hair like him now. Woo! That's awesome. I don't know if tonight's your first time that you've come before the Lord to say, God, I receive you, Jesus. I don't know if you've come and made this a rededication, but here's what I want you guys to know is this. We're going to say a prayer together, but here's what I want you guys to know is this, is that inside each and every single one of you, God has a plan for your life. And it doesn't matter what your background is, and it doesn't matter what people say. Inside each of you, there's a hero waiting to be unveiled. Inside each of you, there's a plan, and the Lord's saying, I want to send you and pursue that plan and be world changers. You are world changers. I want you guys to say that. Say, I'm a world changer. Speak that over your life. Say, I'm a world changer. So we're going to pray, okay? I'll have everybody pray with us. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, all that I am, I give to you, and all that you are, I receive is mine. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Make my life new. Make my altar clean. Jesus, I tear down those things that are not of you so that I can receive what you have for me. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I'll serve you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on. You guys have like a really ridiculously awesome Uproar team over here wearing sweet t-shirts. They want to talk with you for just a couple of minutes. I'm going to ask you incredible gentlemen to make your way with them just for a couple of moments. It's going to be good, I promise. Trust me. It's going to be amazing. Our lives before the Lord are altars. If you walk away with nothing else, walk away with this. Your life before the Lord is an altar. And it's up to you as to what's going to go on that altar. Is that altar going to be built with a sacrifice that's of this world? Or is that altar going to be built with our lives as a living sacrifice for the one who created you? There's purpose in each and every single one of you, and you're destined for purpose. So let your lives be in right living before the Lord. It says that in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Let your life be a slave to righteousness, and I will set you apart as holy. When you live your life holy, you're living your life empowered. And when you're empowered, there's nothing in this world that can stop you. I believe that there are heroes in this room and world changers in this room. So live set apart. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, guys.
Amen. Was that good? Don't be so quiet on me. My goodness, I thought you fell asleep or something. I have just a couple quick announcements for you, if I remember them all. First off, tomorrow we have food available in between sessions. Also an ice cream truck, because ice cream, why not? Also, our schedule looks like this. Ready? This is important. It's important. We start at 11 a.m. tomorrow. And then we have another session at 2, and then our concert at 6 with Social Club, which I'm excited about, and then our session right after that. But hey, inside of these sessions, I'm really excited. Teens, you're going to stay in here. 18 to 28, you're going to be able to go out underneath the tent and have your own specific session. And leaders, we're going to have an amazing time over here. So make sure you're here, 11, 2, and 6. 11, 2, and 6. Sound good? Also, merch available out front. Let's pray real quick so you guys can go. Bow your heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the word that was invested. And I thank you that as we can hear the word, we won't only just hear it, but we'll respond. So Lord, even as those who are following you, who are battling at times to what do I serve or what's my priority, I pray that we can lay those things down and our priority will be you. So, Lord, from the back to the front, I pray that this word isn't just rattled around and spit out, but I pray that we think about it, we pray on it, and we allow it to impact our hearts forever. If you believe that Jesus did something in your life tonight, can I hear a mighty amen from the back to the front? No. Stop. No. What the heck was that? I said a mighty amen from the back to the front. All right, time out. I've seen people give more praise at a Justin Bieber concert than I have right now. And that's ridiculous to me. So can I hear a mighty amen from the back to the front? Much better. You guys are free to go for the night. We'll see you bright and early. Not really. Have a phenomenal night. Thank you.